Well, one of the great riddles of the Bible is the question of faith versus works. Yeah. And for some people, it's given them something to fight about, even for churches to split over the last 2,000 years or so. Faith versus works. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, our own St. Paul famously wrote this, quote, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from ourselves, not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast," end quote. Okay, well, that sounds rather emphatic and very clear, right? He's talking about salvation there and saying that it is a free gift from God that we ourselves cannot earn through our works. All right, okay, fine. But then you have James, for instance, the brother of Jesus, who also famously wrote this in James chapter 2. He says, "What good is it if someone claims to have faith but has no good works? Faith without works is dead." Right. Dead. Very famous, evidently. Yeah, right. Also very emphatic and pretty blunt. Faith without works is dead. And really, there's no question that most of what Jesus taught us had to do with our deeds, our works, our behavior in the here and now. Yeah, absolutely. All that stuff about loving and serving others, right? That was his primary message. And it was a very practical message. Take a look at our gospel reading today. Heard from Mary. Jesus draws that great distinction that he absolutely loved to draw. Yeah. He holds up the teachers of the law, which was the Sadducees and those beloved Pharisees that we love to talk about. And he uses them as an example. They're a great example. And as usual, they garner his contempt and ridicule. And I think it's okay to laugh about them. Just look at it. He says right there in Mark 12, verses 39 and 40, he says, "They're in the synagogues making lengthy prayers in their flowing robes." You can just hear the disdain, right, that he's got for these people. And then, look out, Jesus says, "These men will be punished most severely." Yeah? Woo. I probably shouldn't laugh at these people, but I just can't help myself. I find it kind of funny. Okay, and then after that little story of disdain, the gospel writer, Mark, contrasts that immediately with the story of the poor widow. A completely opposite reaction from Jesus. Now notice this, I like this, always like this about that story. Jesus is watching the people put their money in the offering plate, right? Note to self, he's checking it out, yeah? It matters to him, apparently. What we do there with that little gold plate in the back, apparently it matters to him, and sure, why wouldn't it? And he, Jesus, noted in verse 43 that the poor widow had, quote, "put more into the treasury than all the others." Really? Really? She had only put in two small copper coins. It's often referred to in that story as two mites, M-I-T-E-S, two mites. Estimated in today's value, far less than a penny. But Jesus was placing value on the deed itself, not the coins. He was literally evaluating what she had done. So our deeds, our works, clearly do matter and are valued and are evaluated by God. Again, you know, note to self, right? It's important. Don't forget that. Let's not forget it. And so, yes, I think James, the brother of Jesus, is absolutely right. And the guys with the flowing robes and the lengthy prayers, but no good deeds, Jesus says they're getting punished. And in fact, the greatest among them, little did they know, was the poor widow and her rich heart and her good deeds. Great story. Okay, so does that therefore mean that our St. Paul is wrong when he says that we are saved by grace alone? No, I don't think so at all. And that, again, is that riddle. It's the riddle. Okay, so staying with this gospel story for one more minute, think of this. There's more to that story than we can possibly know, and more than we're probably supposed to know. Maybe more than it's our job to know. For instance, it doesn't say there why the widow had such a good and giving heart. But we might imagine that it was because of her faith in God. That's why she was there in the temple and why she did what she did. It was because of her faith. And also, we cannot judge the ultimate salvation of the Pharisees. It might be fun to do, right? But we can't do that. Don't do that. Because we don't really know. How could we possibly know? I mean, even though they are a very useful tool for how not to act, and even though Jesus says they're going to get punished, I can still imagine, and frankly, I can still hope, that ultimately they work it out. That Jesus works it out with them, and they too are saved by Jesus. But that's up to him. That's up to him, and I think he can handle it. And that would represent salvation through grace, wouldn't it? Yeah. In our responsive reading today, in your book, in your program, we read the entire 127th Psalm. And that was not written by King David, as they often are. It was written by his son, King Solomon. That's right. And it sounds like King Solomon. That sounds like him. Listen to the first two verses. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. And unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. And he goes on to say, you can rise early in the morning and work all day long in the fields, gathering food. But if you do it separate from the love of God, you do it all in vain. Man, that sounds like King Solomon, doesn't it? That sure does. All is vanity, right? That's him. So notice now, that's exactly what we've been talking about so far. The importance of both faith and works. That's his point there. That's his point. Solomon mentions specific works, things like building houses, standing guard, raising food. Is King Solomon suggesting that we don't need to do those things? Well, no. Clearly we do have to do those things and a lot more things. We can't just sit around praying in our flowing robes, you know, all day long, every day. No, houses need to be built. Food needs to be grown. But what he is saying is if you do all of that, all the work, all the deeds, without God being part of it, without faith in your life, you know, what really is the point? Ultimately, what's the point? He says we do it all in vain. Without God, without faith, there really isn't a point in any of it. It's all in vain. You need both. You need faith and you need works. And that's the key. That's the key to solving the riddle. And for us, our faith in Jesus frees us, or at least it should, to do good works. Right? Here on earth. Now. In the here and now. And that I'm telling you, that's what Jesus wants. That's what he commanded. Jesus has enabled us, he's freed us to focus on the here and now because he has taken care of the rest. That's it. That's the key. If we have faith in him, we don't really have to worry about our salvation or anybody else's for that matter. Because we believe we have faith that he's in charge of all that. Not us. And he has it covered. And it was covered by his blood once and for all. I mean, that can be hard for us to accept as humans with our human pride, but that is Paul's point. And that solves the riddle. We're saved by grace, yes. And our faith in that grace sets us free to do good works. That's the answer. That freedom through faith in Jesus and what he has done and continues to do is beautifully stated in our reading today from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. It says, he appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. In other words, he took care of the problem, our problem of sin and death, by conquering it once and for all. Now, when I read those verses from Hebrews chapter 9, comes from the lectionary, by the way, I knew that there was a hymn. It reminded me of a hymn. It happens to me often, right? Like, man, what is that hymn? And it took me a while. I was looking through the references, the cross references, and it took me a while, and I finally came up with it. The hymn it was reminding me of was Rock of Ages. Yep, it really was. We sang it together a short while ago, Rock of Ages. That's what it reminded me of. That hymn was written by the English minister Augustus Toplady. What a name, right? Augustus Toplady. And it was first published in 1776. Almost 250 years ago. Toplady died young, in his 30s, from tuberculosis. But in his life, he had become a well-known minister and a very prolific writer of poems and hymns. But apparently, he only struck gold once with a famous hymn, and this was it. It was Rock of Ages, and boy, did he ever nail it on that one, I think. He really got that one right. It is a great, great and famous hymn. Rock of Ages, right? Cleft for me. The lyrics are, I think, stunning. They're a stunning examination of that riddle we've been talking about, of faith versus works, and solves it. It solves it right there by revealing the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Now, get this. Jesus is not mentioned specifically by name anywhere in the song. And yet it's abundantly clear that he is the Rock of Ages. Christ, who our reading today said, appeared once and for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin. That's from Hebrews. And as the hymn so beautifully states, is of sin the double cure, cleanse from me its guilt and power. And so in closing, you know, as we discovered today, or perhaps just reminded ourselves, that hymn, Rock of Ages, it emphasizes that our deeds, our works, although they're important and absolutely necessary, they are not the key to our salvation. Only Jesus, our rock of all ages, holds the key to salvation. Verse 2 of the hymn says, not the labors of my hands, not my zeal, not my tears, all of that for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. And it's a great line. And the good news is, the gospel is, that's exactly what Jesus did. He saved once and for all so that we can go and do his work. Amen.